Beautiful tonight. Lydia, thank you so much. Psalm 37 tonight is where we're going to be. Psalm 37, we're going to continue. We're going to look at the God of Order, part 2 tonight. And this morning we looked at the God of Order, part 1 from 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And I'll read our main two verses that... Not the main two, we looked at the whole chapter this morning, but verse number 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And then in verse number 40, the Bible says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And then this morning in 1 Corinthians 14, we asked the question, we'll do that again tonight, how do I walk orderly? How do I live orderly? If my God is the God of order, and He is... The Scripture proves that over and over again, that then how can I be a person, a Christian, His child? How can I be a Christian who lives orderly or walks orderly? And we said this morning from 1 Corinthians 14, we said, first of all, we must be sure in our sound. We must be sure in our sound in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 7 and 8. "And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" There may be some things that's okay that we're uncertain about. For example, this week, I was just reminded once again, when it comes to picking places to eat, my family is very indecisive. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? Wherever you want to eat. That's not what I ask. Where do you want to eat? But listen, when it comes to the Word of God, we must give a distinct sound. And so how can I walk orderly? By being sure in my sound. Secondly, we said we must be mature in our minds. In verse number 19 or verse number 20, he says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Must be mature. We must be men in our minds. And then thirdly, we said we must be obedient to God's order. That just makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm going to walk orderly, then I must be obedient to God's order. Verse number 34, he says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." Now that's specifically to the women, but that's true in every part of the Scripture. When God gives a command, we're to be obedient to the order. And then fourthly, this morning we said all of that is important. Why do we do all that? Why should we walk orderly? Why is God a God of order? So that the Word might produce true worship. He says in verses 23, 24, and 25, he says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." I watched a video yesterday, and this isn't the message tonight, but I watched a video yesterday. Actually, it was a message, but in the message, the preacher was showing just some videos, and he was showing a video of Heidi Baker, who is one of the leaders, by the way, of Bethel Music. You ought to stay away from that stuff. But she's one of the leaders of Bethel Music, and she was preaching in a church out in California, and she was doing impartations. And everybody in the church was just laying hands on each other, and they were imparting. Oh, they were imparting some things. They were imparting different things to each other. And it showed a video of this. He's probably a teenage boy, but she specifically laid her hands on his head. And he is writhing uncontrollably there at the the steps of the platform. He's just writhing. Listen, that's not of God. That's disorder. By the way, that's not just disorder, that's demonic. Yeah, there are some spirits being imparted in there. But when someone is convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, yes, they fall on their face and they get right with God. They don't shake uncontrollably like that teenage young man was doing. There was no confession and no getting right with God. It was just uncontrollable shaking. That's disorder. That's chaotic. And the Bible, Paul tells the church at Corinth, he said, if people walk into a church like that, they're not going to understand anything. They're not going to have understanding. He said, that's why you must be men in your understanding so that you can relay that to those that come in who need to have understanding imparted to them. God is a God of order. He's not just a God of order. He is the God of order. And so tonight, in Psalm 37, I want us to see again tonight the God of order. Look at verse number 23. We're going to look at the entirety of the psalm tonight. You say, oh my goodness, we have 40 verses again tonight. We had 40 this morning. But listen, I just have two statements for you tonight, okay? In all of these verses, I just have two statements for you tonight. Look at verse number 23, if we could begin there. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, the truth is tonight, we know that there's none good, no, not one. The verses around verse 23 speak of righteousness, speak about the righteous individual. So when it speaks of good there, it is speaking of the righteous man. Yes, it is speaking of moral righteousness, people doing good things. But the idea there is one who has been made righteous. And notice this, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Now, there's some argument about this second phrase. The Bible says, and he delighteth in his way. Is the Bible saying that the Lord delights in this righteous man? Or is the Bible saying that this righteous man delights in the Lord? And I could say yes. I don't know. I don't know which one it is. There's arguments. Is this God delighting in the righteous man or the righteous man delighting in God? Both are true. Okay, both are true tonight. God delights in His people who live right and do right. By the way, God delights in a person who has been made righteous by His blood. But the righteous man also delights in the steps that his God directs him in. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. Notice this, none of his steps shall slide. Why? Because his steps are ordered by the Lord. And so tonight, let me give you two statements as we look. I want to give you two statements about the good man. And as we think about God being a God of order, and specifically just want us to think tonight, do we allow God to order our steps? Do we allow God to direct our every step? Or do we try to manipulate sometimes, and we try to manipulate the situation, and sometimes we order our own steps? Or do we allow God Almighty to order our steps? Listen, God is a God of order. He is the God of order. It doesn't matter what society and culture think is right today. It matters what God has already said is right. And it matters that we allow Him to order our steps, because it makes all the difference in our lives. And we're going to see that in this psalm tonight. We're going to read the whole psalm. We're not going to break it all down. I am going to give you two statements. But that makes all the difference. Whether we allow God to order our steps, or whether we follow the wicked. Whether we copy the wicked. or whether we follow their steps. Let me give you the first statement tonight, and we're going to back up. This is a psalm of David. By the way, a psalm written in his older age. How do you know that, Pastor? I know it from verse number 25. He says, I have been young and now am old. He tells us very succinctly there. He's older now. And so this is written in his older age. And so number one, and we'll begin there in verse number one tonight. Number one, the good man allows the scriptures to establish his steps. The good man allows the scriptures to establish his steps. Okay, that's verses 23 through 25. That's verse 31. The good man, the righteous man, allows the scriptures to establish his steps. Every step he takes, every area of his life, whether it's his family, whether it's his finances, we could go through all the different areas of our lives, but the good man allows the scriptures, because the Bible says in verse number 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The good man has allowed the Lord to order his steps, to establish his steps, to show him the right direction, to show him which way he ought to go. And by the way, the Bible says, whether that's the righteous man, the good man, or whether that's God, the Bible says, and he delighteth in his way. When I go the direction of the Lord, God delights in that, and not only does God delight in that, I will eventually delight in that, even if I don't at first. Even if at first I'm thinking, really? That's the direction I should go? This is 2024. Yeah, because it's God's steps. It's God's direction. And eventually I will delight in it. And so number one tonight, the good man allows the scriptures to establish his steps. Let me give you number two. Oh my, we're already on number two, yeah. But that's the rest of the chapter. Number one, the good man allows the scriptures to establish his steps. So right off the bat, there's the question. Do I allow God to establish, to order my steps? Or do I allow the world? Do I allow friends? Do I allow social media? Do I allow what other parents who are associated, they have kids the same age as my kids, and we do a lot of things together. Do I allow them to establish my steps? Do I allow the government? Do I allow the school system? Do I allow Hollywood to establish my steps? Or do I allow the Scriptures? Do I allow God Almighty and what He has, the voice that speaks through the pages? Do I allow Him to establish my steps? Young people tonight, let me ask you, are you going to allow the Lord to establish your steps one day in determining what kind of young person you're going to marry? It'll make all the difference in the world. Or are you going to allow your eyes? Or are you going to allow your emotions to establish your steps? And 3 or 4 or 5, 10 years down the road, you look back and you're like, oh, bad decision. It's bad when you get into something that you're in for life and you realize, I don't know if that was the right decision or not. Because when you get married, it is for life. And you're in it. That's why it behooves you as a young person before you get married to make sure that you allow the Lord to order your steps and to allow the Scriptures to guide you and to show you step by step by step. We're going through in our young adult Sunday school class, we're going through just a little book. Dr. Clarence Sexton wrote it. What's the name of the little book? The title of our series is Rate the Mate. That's funny, right? What's the title of the book? Somebody tell me. Oh, I can't remember. What to look for in a life's mate. What to look for in a life's mate. And there's like 40 different, it's just one page little characteristics, but there's like 40 of them. And I told our young people, listen, you don't have to memorize all 40 of those. And you don't have to sit down when you're thinking about marrying a young man or a young lady. Do they meet every single one of these qualifications? But these are good directions and good steps that you ought to allow the Lord to order your way in so that, yeah, you don't make a bad decision. Number one, the good man allows the Scriptures to establish his steps. Whether it's a young person thinking about getting married, whether it's a mom or a dad, whether it's a church, it doesn't matter the area of our lives. We allow the Scriptures to establish our steps. Number two, the good man acknowledges that satisfaction, salvation, and serenity is secured only through the Savior. The good man acknowledges, and by the way, what's the main word in that word acknowledge? Knowledge. Again, he has some understanding and he has some knowledge. He acknowledges that satisfaction, salvation, and by the way, the salvation that's spoken of here toward the end of Psalm 37, we'll get down to it in just a little bit. That salvation, I believe, is not necessarily talking about spiritual salvation, but more of a deliverance. That satisfaction, salvation, and serenity is secured only through the Savior. And when we allow God to order our steps, we're going to come to the understanding. We're going to acknowledge. We may not do it immediately. When a young person bows their heart and their head to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to allow you to order my steps. I'm going to allow you to establish my way. I'm going to allow you to order my steps because I want to be a good man. When a young person does that, he may not be able to see everything that's going to happen, and he may not realize all of the satisfaction right at that moment. But somewhere down the road, he's going to acknowledge that satisfaction and salvation and serenity are secured only through the Savior. By trusting Him, by committing myself to Him, by resting in Him, by delighting in Him. And that's what the passage said. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 1. You know the verses. These ought to be familiar verses to us tonight. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquities. Because, see, here's what we do sometimes. We get our eyes off of God's Word, and we get our eyes upon people, and we say, you know what? Those people don't live for God. Those people don't go to church on Sunday. They don't go to church surely on Wednesday. Those people don't act right, live right. They don't talk right. But man alive, look at the house they have, and look at the vehicles that they have, and look at all of the niceties and all of the toys that they have. I'd like some of that. And we get our eyes off of God's Word, and we begin to think that satisfaction is only found in stuff. And the psalmist David, and by the way, did the psalmist David have a lot? Yeah, he was king. Yeah, he had a lot. But he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here we go. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in what you see. Don't trust in what everybody else has. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So there's one. Trust. Verse number 4, he says, delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, by the way, I don't believe that verse number 4 is saying that when I delight in the Lord, He's going to give me a Ford F-150. He's going to give me a fishing boat, and He's going to give me all these other temporal desires of my heart. When I delight in the Lord, His desires become my desires. They match up. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse number 5 gives us another word, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Again, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Here's another word, rest. Rest in the Lord. And here's another word, wait patiently for Him. The good man acknowledges that satisfaction, salvation, and serenity is secured only through the Savior. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Let me take a little time out right now. You know why you get so frustrated just like I do at politicians? Because they think they have to lick their finger and put it in the air and figure out which way the wind is blowing, and that's what I believe today. Instead of just saying, you know what, this is what I believe. Take it or leave it. This is what, because if I say that, if I say this is what I believe, take it or leave it, a lot of people will leave it. And if I want the votes and if I want to get elected, then I have to say certain things and I have to move in a certain direction that may not be exactly who I am. We need to trust. We need to rest. And we need to wait patiently. Because the Bible says, He says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Wait patiently for him. Yeah, I told my son the other day, I probably would disagree with him on so many issues, and I know I do. But I am glad that RFK Jr. will tell you what he believes. Now, I would disagree with him on many, many things. But you know what he does? He says, this is what I believe. Kamala Harris isn't going to do that. Matter of fact, she seems like she's coming over to the other side. Now, if you believe that, we're fools, aren't we? Because actions speak louder than words, and we've seen her actions. You ought to be thankful for someone, whether you agree with them or not, whether they're right or wrong. Many times they're wrong. But if they tell you what they believe, and say, here it is. This is what I believe. And the child of God ought to say, this is what I believe. God's Word. This is what I believe. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to commit my way to Him. I'm not going to fret because of evildoers. I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to delight in Him. And I'm going to wait patiently to see Him bring it to pass. Because I may not see results immediately. I probably won't. Right? Oh. Many times it takes years to see results for just staying faithful to what God has called you to do. Verse number 8, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Hey, yes, you may get angry at how it looks as if the wicked are prospering. Don't get angry at that. Trust God. Acknowledge that satisfaction comes only from Him, not from stuff. That the wicked, they have lots of stuff, and it appears as if they're prospering. But satisfaction isn't found in stuff. It says verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Aren't you thankful the Bible tells us we're going to reign with Him one day on this earth? The Bible says, shall inherit. Now, I believe specifically that David is probably speaking to the nation of Israel here. But he says in verse number 9, he says, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? The good man acknowledges that satisfaction, salvation, and serenity, peace, is secured only through the Savior. Trusting Him, committing to Him, delighting in Him, waiting upon Him, resting in Him, secured only through the Savior. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Hey, young people, don't ever forget that. By the way, I say young people, all of us. But young people tonight, I remember, and I think I've told you all this before, but I remember when I was a teenager and my pastor, when I think I was about 17 and I just graduated high school and I was getting ready to go to MTSU. I went there for a year before I went to Pensacola, but I was getting ready to go to MTSU and I was studying accounting. By the way, that's what I studied at Pensacola as well. But I remember my pastor asking me, you know, why do you want to go into accounting? What do you want to do with your life? And he was so gracious because if a young person told me this, I'd probably tear him up. But I told him this. I said, you know, I want to be an accountant. I want to get an accounting degree. I want to be a CPA one day. And this is what I said. I can remember it. I can remember standing in the foyer of that church. And I can remember telling him this because I just want to live comfortably. Now, I know he's thinking in his mind, And by the way, he could have tore me up right there. He could have taken me into his office and shown me the better way. But you know what? He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He's very gracious. Young person tonight, satisfaction doesn't come from living comfortably. It comes from trusting God. Now, I'm thankful tonight that probably everyone in here tonight, we probably live pretty comfortably. But that's not where satisfaction comes from. That's not where serenity comes from. That's not where peace comes from. It comes from trusting God. It comes from resting in Him and waiting on Him. It comes from committing my way to Him. Look a little bit further. Verse number 7, again, verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. They shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 26, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. By the way, I believe that's talking about the righteous man. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. By the way, when it says there, the Lord loveth judgment, I don't believe He's speaking about raining fire and judgment down like Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe He's speaking about when His people, when good men do that which is just. He loveth judgment. When we judge things properly and do things justly. And the Bible says, and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be what? Shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or to condemn him when he is judged. Here's the word again. One of the words. Wait on the Lord. And keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power. Haven't you seen the wicked in great power? We see it all around us today. I have seen the wicked in great power, and it seems like they become richer and richer and they get more power and more power. David says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. The Bible speaks in the book of Proverbs about the memory of the wicked, and the memory of the wicked man is forgotten. He is just forgotten. Nobody thinks about him anymore. One of the saddest things is to go to a funeral of an individual who has just been a wicked individual, who's hated people and been hateful and treated people unkindly and just hatefully, and you go there and there's nobody there. His name is forgotten. Nobody cares. It's not about having a lot of stuff. It's about finding our satisfaction in the Savior. Mark the perfect man, verse 37. The mature man, the complete man. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is what? Peace. You see, the good man allows the Scriptures to establish his steps, and because of that, the good man acknowledges that satisfaction, salvation, and serenity is secured only through the Savior. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their, what's the word, their strength in the time of trouble. You know what? Some people might disagree with me, and you might disagree with me on this statement. I would rather have the strength of the Lord than $1 million in the bank. Because as Lydia spake tonight, when you need to hear from God Almighty, $1 million is going to do you nothing. Oh, but $1 million, it'll give me a little happiness for a little while. Yeah, just for a little while. But when you can go to the Word of God, that very Word that you have allowed to establish your steps, and God Almighty speaks to you through His pages, and God Almighty speaks to you because this is His Word. He says He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? Trust in Him. You see, it matters tonight that we allow God to order our steps. Yeah, but Pastor, my family thinks this, and boy, they give me a hard time about following the Word of God. And boy, we have family functions. We're getting ready to go very soon. It'll be here before you know it. We're getting ready to go into the holiday season. Can you believe that? Shoo. Did somebody say shh? I go to family functions and holiday get-togethers and I just can't talk to my family about anything. Listen, your peace doesn't come from your family. Your peace comes from God Almighty. And it matters whether we allow God Almighty to order our steps or we allow this world to order our steps or we follow the wicked. Well, Pastor, it just seems like the wicked prosper and prosper. And by the way, it does seem like that. And by the way, it doesn't just seem like that. It happens. They prosper. The porn peddlers are probably some of the richest men in this world. The men who sell all the booze are probably some of the richest men in all the world. But you know what? They don't have any peace. They don't have any satisfaction. Or they may have some temporal happiness. They don't have satisfaction. the vast majority of them. Their families are a mess. Their marriages end in ruin and divorce. Why? Because they didn't allow God to establish their steps. They didn't allow the Scriptures to establish and set their order. Two things tonight. The good man allows the Scriptures to establish his steps. Now, by the way, that's a very generic statement. It is and it isn't. It's a very profound statement. It comes right from verse 23. The good man allows the Scriptures to establish his steps. That's a general statement. But when you meditate on it and you think on it, the good man allows God to say, this is my order, this is the way you ought to do it. In the midst of a crooked and perverse world, in the midst of a world that says, that's out of order. And we can look in them and say, no, no, no. You're out of order because I'm following God's order. This may be a general statement, but it gets a little harder when we start actually talking about specifics of God's order. Right? We read a verse this morning in 1 Corinthians 14. Women are to keep silence in the church. That verse stirs the ire of a lot of women in a lot of so-called Christian churches today. Because they have not allowed the Scriptures to establish their steps. Isn't it amazing today that we have so many women who desire to, I don't want to say it that way, but so desire to preach? And isn't it something today that we have so many men who are okay with them doing it? We got everything out of order. And the good man allows the Scriptures to establish his steps and to set things in order. Our society today speaks about children's rights. Children have one right, and that is to obey mom and dad. You see, we've gotten so many things out of order that mom and dad are still the parents and that children are to obey. And if we say anything against their feelings or emotions or their expressions, we're going to scar them for life. Okay, you know what we need to do? We need to go back and let the Scripture establish our steps. Because satisfaction, salvation, and serenity are only secured through the Savior. Not through the society. And not through the culture. The God of order. I know we know this tonight. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know we understand that God is a God of order. But we need to be settled in our hearts about that. Because you encounter family, you encounter people in the community who do not agree with that. They don't agree with that. They don't agree with your order. They don't agree with husband, wife, children. They don't agree with dad, mom, children. They don't agree with that. They don't agree with, and I'm not going to go on and on because we're done. I'm going to let you go. All right? But we need to settle in our hearts, if my God is the God of order, then I want to live my life orderly. And I want to allow God Almighty and His Scriptures, the voice that speaks through those very pages every day, I want to allow Him and that to establish my steps every day. Not what the news says, but what this says. Because it makes all the difference. Because it's only through that that we have satisfaction, salvation, and serenity, peace. Mark the perfect man, verse 37 says, because his end is what? Peace. Peace. Let's stand. And so many things running through my mind, but I don't want to keep you. I really don't. Because I'm done. I gave you my two statements and I'm done. God help us. We're not even going to have an invitation tonight. God help us that we would be a people who understand He is the God of order. I'm going to allow Him, His Scriptures, to establish my steps because that's where my satisfaction, that's where my peace, that's where my strength comes from. It's not from anywhere else. Father, thank You for the night. Thank You for Psalm 37. Father, there's so much more there. Lord, may You help us maybe even to come back and see more of it. But Father, I pray simply tonight that You'd help us to be a people who allow You and allow Your Scriptures to establish our steps. Not our opinions, not culture's opinions, not society's opinions, not social media's opinions, not even our friends' opinions, but Father, Your very Word. Father, it is the voice that speaks to us every day. Father, may we allow it to do so. Father, help us tonight. Give us safety as we go to our homes. Father, be with us this week. Help our young people as they go to school tomorrow. May You give them a wonderful week at school. Help them to do well in every project, every test that they might have this week. Lord, help our adults in every project that they have at work, every obligation that they have at work. Father, help them to do their absolute very best. And Father, bless them for it. Father, just give us a good night. Give us safety going home. Bring us back together on Wednesday. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed tonight.